Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Dr. Charles Allen in Elgin, Texas. Today is April the 27th, 2025, or it is the first day of Zif, new moon Sabbath of 2029. We will start our third service on this new moon Sabbath with a continuation of our reading from the Desire of Ages. Of chapter 86, chapter 86, Go Teach Our Nation. We're on part two of that chapter, and we're on page 822. And we're going to pick up where we left off from part two. This is now part three of Go and Teach Our Nation. Oh, this is actually part two of Go Teach Our Nation. So it says, for the Savior, no, we're on page 823. And we're on paragraph 2. It says, when the Savior said, go and teach all nations, he said also, these signs shall follow them that believe. For in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with the new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, for they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover, for the promise is far-reaching as the commission. Not that all the gifts are imparted unto each believer, for the Spirit decides or divides unto every man severally as he will. 1 Corinthians 12:11. Verily, the gifts of the Spirit are promised unto every believer according unto his need, for the Yahshua's work. For the promise is just as strong and trustworthy now as in the days of the apostles. For these signs shall follow them that believe. For this is the privilege of the Yahweh's children, and faith should lay hold on all that is possible to have as an understatement of the faith, for they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. For this world is a vast leisure house, but the Yahshua came to heal the sick, to proclaim deliverance unto the captives of the Satan, for he was in himself health and strength, for he imparted his life unto the sick, the afflicted, those possessed of the demons. He turned away none who came for the receiving of his healing power, for he knew that those who petitioned him for the help had brought disease upon themselves, yet he did not refuse to heal them. And when virtue from the Yahshua entered into those poor souls, they were convicted of the sin, and many were healed of the spiritual disease as well as of the physical maladies. for the gospel, or as we call it, the teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19 and 20 of the New and Living Way, still possesses the same power. So the teaching of the present truth, which would be salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, still possesses the same power, and why should we not today witness the same results? For Yahshua fills the woes of every sufferer. When the evil spirits rend a human frame, Yahshua feels the curse. When the fever is burning up the life current, he feels the agony, and he is just as willing to heal the sick now as when he was personally on the earth. For Yahshua's servants are his. We represented as the channels for his working, for he desires through them for the exercising of his healing power. In the Savior's manner of the healing, there were lessons for his disciples. On the one occasion, he anointed the eyes of a blind man with the clay and bade him go wash in the pool of the Siloam. For he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing, John 9:7. For the cure could be wrought only by the power of the great healer, yet Yahshua made use of the simple agencies of nature. While he did not give a continuance for the drug medication, he sanctioned the use of the simple and natural remedies unto many of the afflicted ones who received the healing. Yahshua said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee, unto thee. John 5:14. Thus he taught that the disease is the result of the violating of the Yahweh's laws, both natural and spiritual. For the great misery in the world would not exist did men but live in the harmony with the Creator's plan. For Yahshua had been the guide and teacher of the ancient Israel, and he taught them that health is the reward of obedience to the laws of the Yahweh. For the great physician who healed the sick in Palestine has spoken unto his people from the pillar of the cloud, telling them what they must do, and Yahweh will do for them. If thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Yahshua, thy Savior, he said, and wilt do that which is right If thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Yahweh thy Father, he said, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear unto his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Yahshua that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. For the Yahshua gave unto Israel the definite instruction in the regard unto their habits of life. And he assured them, for the Yahshua will take away from thee all sickness. Deuteronomy 7:15. When they fulfilled their condition, the promise was verified unto them. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 105:37. For these lessons are for us, for they are conditions to be observed by all who would preserve health. All should learn what these conditions are, for the Yahshua is not pleased with the ignorance and the regard unto his laws, either natural or spiritual. We are to be workers together with the Yahweh the Father for the restoration of the health to the body as well as to the soul. And you shall teach others how to preserve and to recover health for the sick. We should use the remedies which the Yahweh has provided in the nature, and we should point them unto Him who alone can restore. It is our work to present the sick and suffering to Yahshua in the arms of our faith. We should teach them to believe in the great healer. We should lay hold on His promise and pray for the manifestation of His power. For the very essence of the gospel is restoration. For the Savior would have us bid the sick, the hopeless, and the afflicted take a hold upon His strength. For the power of the love was in all of the Yahshua's healing, and only by the partaking of that love through the faith can we be instruments for His work. If we neglect to link ourselves in the divine connection with the Yahshua, the current of life-giving energy cannot flow in the rich stream from us unto the people. There were places where the Savior Himself could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. So now unbelief separates the church from her divine helpers. Behold, her hold upon the eternal realities is weak. By her lack of the faith, the Yahweh is disappointed and robbed of His glory. It is in the doing of Yahshua's work that the church has the promise of His presence. Go teach all the nations, He said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. To take His yoke is one of the first conditions of the receiving of His power, for the very life of the church depends upon her faithfulness in the fulfilling of Yahshua's commission. To neglect this work is sure to invite the spiritual feebleness and decay. Where there is no active labor for others, love wanes and faith grows dim. For the Yahshua intends that His ministers shall be the educators of the church in the gospel work, for they are to teach the people how to seek and save the Lord. But is this the work they are doing? Alas, how many are toiling to fan the spark of the light in a church that is ready to die. How many churches are tended like the sick lambs by those who ought to be seeking for the lost sheep? And all the time, millions upon millions without the Yahshua are perishing. For the divine love has been stirred unto its unfathomable depths. For the sake of the men and angels marvel to behold in the recipients of so great love, a mere service, gratitude, angels marvel at the man's shallow appreciation of the love of the Father Yahweh. For the heaven stands indignant at the neglect shown unto the souls of men. Would we know how the Yahshua regards it? How would a father and mother feel did they know that their child lost in the cold and the snow had been passed by and left to perish by those who might have saved it? Would they not be terribly grieved, wildly indignant? Would they not denounce those murderers with the rest hot as their tears, intense as their love? For the sufferings of the every man are the sufferings of Yahweh's child, and those who reach out no helping hand unto their perishing fellow beings provoke his righteous anger. This is the wrath of the Lamb. And to those who claim fellowship with the Yahshua, yet have been indifferent unto the needs of their fellow men, he will declare in the great judgment day, "I know you not which you are, depart from me, all ye workers of the iniquity." Luke 13:27. Okay, let's see. In the commission unto his disciples, Yahshua not only outlined their work, but gave them their message. "Teach the people," he said, "to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." For the disciples were to teach what the Yahshua had taught, that which he had spoken, not only in the person, but through all of the prophets and teachers of the Old Testament, is here included. Human teaching is shut out. There is no place for the tradition, for man's theories and conclusions, or for the church legislation. No laws ordained by the ecclesiastical authority are included in the commission. None of these are the Yahshua's servants to teach, for the law and the prophets with the record of his own words, and these are the treasure committed unto the disciples to be given unto the world. For the Yahshua's name is their watchword, their badge of the distinction, their bond of the union, for the authority, for their course of the action, and the source of their success. Nothing that does not bear his superscription is to be recognized in his kingdom. For the gospel is to be presented not as a lofty theory, but as a living force for the changing of the life. For the Yahshua desired that the receivers of his grace shall be witnesses unto his power. For those whose course has been most offensive unto him, they freely accept. When they repent, he imparts unto them his divine spirit, places them in the highest positions of his trust, and sends them forth unto the camp of the beloved for the proclaiming of his boundless mercy. He would have his servant bear the testimony unto the fact that through his grace men may possess the Christ-likeness of the Trinity and may rejoice in the assurance of his great love. For he would have us bear testimony unto the fact that he cannot be satisfied until the human race are reclaimed and reinstated in their holy privileges as his sons and daughters. And the answer is the tenderness of the shepherd, the affection of the parent, and the master's grace of the compassionate Savior. For his blessing is he presents in the most alluring terms. He is not content merely for the announcing of his blessing, for he presents them in the most attractive way to excite a desire to possess him. So his servants are to present the riches of the glory of the unspeakable gift, for the wonderful love of Yahshua will melt and subdue the hearts when the mere reiteration of the doctrine would accomplish nothing. Comfort ye, my people, saith your Yahweh. O Zion, that bringest the good tidings, get thee up unto the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest the good tidings, lift up thy voice with the strength lifted up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of the Judah, behold your Yahweh. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall suffer the lambs with his arm, or he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 9 to 11. Tell the people of him who is the chiefest among the 10,000, and the one altogether lovely. For the Song of the Solomon, 5, 10, and 16. Words alone cannot tell it. Let it be reflected into the character and manifested in the life. For Yahshua is sitting for his portrait in every disciple, everyone. The Yahweh has predestinated to be conformed in the image of his Son, Romans 8:29. And the everyone, Yahshua's long-suffering love, his holiness, meekness, mercy, and truth are to be manifested unto the world. Keep going. All right. For the first disciples went forth preaching the word, for they revealed Yahshua in their lives, and Yahshua worked with them, confirming the word with the signs following. Mark 16:20. For the disciples prepared themselves for their work before the day of the Pentecost, for they met together and put away all differences, for they were of the one accord, for they believed in the Yahshua's promise that the blessing would be given, and they prayed in the faith, for they did not ask for a blessing for themselves merely, for they were weighed with the burden for the salvation of souls. For the gospel was to be carried unto the uttermost parts of the earth, and they claimed the endowment of the power that the Yahshua had promised. Then it was that the Holy Spirit was poured out, and thousands were converted in a day. So it may be now, instead of men's speculation, let the word of the Yahweh be preached. Let the Christians put away their dissension and give themselves unto the Yahweh for the saving of the lost. Let them in the faith ask for the blessing, and it will come. For the outpouring of the Spirit is, as the apostolic days was unto the former reign, and glorious was the result, but the latter reign will be more abundant. Joel 2:23. All who consecrate soul, body, and spirit unto the Father will be constantly receiving of a new endowment of the physical and mental power for the inexhaustible supply of the heavens are at their command. For the Yahshua gives them the breath of his own spirit, the life of his own life. The Holy Spirit put forth his highest energy for the working in the heart and mind. The grace of the Yahweh enlarges and multiplies the faculties in every profession of the divine nature, comes unto their assistance in the work of the saving soul. Through the cooperation with the Yahshua, they are complete in Him, and in their human weakness, they are enabled to do the deeds of the Omnipotent. For the Savior longs to manifest His grace and stamp His character on the whole world. It is His precious possession, and He desires for the making men free and pure and holy. Though the Satan works to hinder this purpose, yet through the blood shed for the world, they are triumphed to be achieved. That will bring glory unto the Father, Yahweh, and the Lamb, Yahshua. For the Yahshua will not be satisfied till the victory is complete, and it shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. Isaiah 53:11. All the nations of the earth shall hear the gospel, or the plan of salvation through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, through the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20. Not all will receive His grace, but a seed shall serve Him. It shall be accounted unto the Yahshua for a generation. Psalms 22:30. For the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, and the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Yahshua as the waters cover the sea. So shall they fear the name of the Yahshua from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun, that's in the east. Daniel 7:27, Isaiah 11:9, and 59:19. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of the good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, thy Yahshua reigneth. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places, for the Yahshua has comforted his people, for the Yahshua has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Yahweh. Isaiah 52:7-10. This end of chapter 86. Now we still have time for the second half of our study with chapter 87, Desire of Ages, the title, To My Father and Your Father. For the time had come for the Yahshua to ascend unto his Father's throne. As a divine conqueror, he was about to return with the trophy of the victory unto the heavenly court. Before his death, he had declared unto his Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. John 17:4. After his resurrection, he tarried on the earth for a season, that his disciples might become familiar with him in his risen and glorified body. Now he was ready for the leave-taking, for he authenticated the fact that he was a living Savior, for his disciples need no longer associate him with the tomb, for they could think of him as the glorified before the heavenly universe. As the place of his ascension, Yahshua chose the spot so often hallowed by his presence while he dwelt among the men, nor Mount Zion, the place of the David city, not the Mount Moriah, the temple site, was to be thus honored. For there Yahshua had been mocked and rejected, there the waves of the mercy still returning, and a stronger tide of the love had been beaten back by the hearts as hard as rock, since Yahshua, weary and heart burdened, had gone forth to find rest in the Mount of the Olives, the Holy Shekinah, and the departing from the first temple had stood upon the eastern mountain, as if loath to forsake the chosen city. So Yahshua stood upon all of it. Let's do that again. Yahshua stood upon the Mount Olivet with the yearning in his heart, overlooking of the Jerusalem for the groves and the glens of the mountain had been consecrated by his prayer and tears, for its steeps had echoed the triumphant shouts of the multitude that proclaimed him as the King of Israel. On his sloping descent, he had found a home with the Lazarus at the Bethany, and the Garden of the Gethsemane at his foot. He had prayed and agonized alone. From this mountain, he was to ascend into the heaven. Upon its summit, his feet will rest when he shall come again not as a man of the sorrow, but as a glorious and triumphant king, for he will stand upon the Mount Olivet, while the Hebrew hallelujahs mingle with the Gentile hosannas, and the voices of the redeemed as a mighty host shall swell the acclamation, crown him the Lord of all. Now, with the 11 disciples, Yahshua made his way toward the mountain. As they passed through the gate of Jerusalem, many wondering eyes looked upon the little company led by one whom a few weeks before the rulers had condemned and crucified, for the disciples knew not that this was to be their last interview with their master. For the Yahshua spent the time and the conversation with them with the repeating of his former instruction. As they approached the Gethsemane, as they approached the Garden of the Gethsemane, for he paused that they might call unto the mind the lesson he had given them on the night of his great agony. Again, he looked upon the vine by which he had then represented the union of his church with himself and his Father. Again, he repeated the truth he had then unfolded. All around him were reminders of his unrequited love. Even the disciples who were so dear unto his heart had in the hour of his humiliation reproached and forsaken him. But Yahshua had sojourned in the world for 33 years. He had endured its scorn, insult, and mockery. He had been rejected and crucified. Now when about to ascend unto the throne of the glory, as he reviewed the ingratitude of the people, he came to say, will he not withdraw from them his sympathy and love? Will not his affection be centered upon that realm where he is appreciated and where sinless angels wait to do his bidding? No, his promise unto those loved ones whom he leaves on the earth is, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:20. Upon the reaching of the Mount of the Olives, Yahshua led the way across the summit unto the vicinity of the Bethany. Here he paused, and the disciples gathered about him. Beams of the light seemed to radiate from his countenance. As he looked lovingly upon them, he upbraided them not for their faults and failures. Words of the deepest tenderness were the last that fell upon their ears from the lips of their Savior Yahshua. With the hands outstretched in the blessing, and as if in the assurance of his protecting care, he slowly ascended from among them, drawn heavenward by a power of the stronger than any earthly attraction. As he passed upward, the awe-stricken disciples looked with the straining eyes for the last glimpse of their ascending Yahshua. A cloud of the glory hid him from their sight, and the words came back unto them as the cloudy chariot of the angel received him Though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, at the same time there floated down unto them the sweetest and the most joyous music from the angel choir. While the disciples were still gazing upward, voices addressed them, which sounded like the richest music. For they turned and saw two angels in the form of men, who spoke unto them, saying, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the heaven? For this same Yahshua, which is taken up from you, there is a throne, and around it is a rainbow of the promise. There are the cherubims and the seraphim, the commanders of the angels' host, the sons of the Yahweh, the representatives of the unfallen worlds are assembled for the heavenly council before which Lucifer had accused the Father and his Son, the representatives of those sinless realms over which Satan had sought for the establishing of his dominion. All are there to welcome the Redeemer, for they are eager for the celebrating of his triumph and to glorify their king." Let's read that again. "For they are eager for the celebrating of his triumph and for the glorifying of their king. But he waves them back. Not yet. He cannot now receive the coronet of the glory and the royal robe, for he enters into the presence of his Father, for he points unto his wounded head, the pierced side, the marred feet, for he lifts his hand bearing the print of the nail, for he points unto the tokens of his triumph, for he presents unto Yahweh the wave sheet, those raised with him as the representatives of that great multitude who shall come forth from the grave at his second coming. For he approaches the Father, with whom there is joy over one sinner that repents, who rejoices over one with the singer, before the foundations of the earth were laid. For the Father and the Son had united in a covenant for the redeeming man if he should be overcome by Satan, for they had clasped their hand in a solemn pledge that the Yahshua should become the surety for the human race. And for this pledge Yahshua has fulfilled. When upon the cross he cried out, 'It is finished,' he addressed the Father. The compact had been fully carried out. Now he declares, 'Father, it is finished. I have done thy will, O my Yahweh. I have completed the work of the redemption. If thy justice is satisfied, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am.'" John 19:30, 17:24. "For the voice of Yahweh is heard proclaiming that justice is satisfied, Satan is vanquished, Yahshua, toiling, struggling ones on the earth are accepted in the Beloved," Ephesians 1:6, "before the heavenly angels and the representatives of the unfallen worlds, they are declared justified where he is. There his church shall be. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." Psalm 85:10. "For the Father's arms encircle his Son, and the word is given that all the angels of the Yahweh worship him." Hebrews 1:6. "With the joy unutterable, rulers and principalities and powers acknowledge the supremacy of the Prince of Life, for the angel host prostrates themselves before him, while the glad shout fills all the courts of the heaven. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for the receiving power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Revelation 5:12. Sing songs of the triumph mingle with the music from the angel harps, till the heaven seems to overflow with the joy and praise. Love has conquered, for the lost is found. Heaven reigns with the voices and the lofty strains, proclaiming blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Hebrews 5:13, or Revelation 5:13. From that scene of the heavenly joy, there comes back to us on the earth with the echo of the Yahshua's own wonderful word, I send unto my Father and your Father, and unto my Yahweh and your Yahweh. John 20:17. For the family of heaven and the family of the earth are one. For us, our Yahshua ascended, and for us he lived. Wherefore he is able also to save them unto the uttermost that come unto the Father Yahweh by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. This is the end of chapter 87, and this is the end of the book of the Desire of Ages, and our subject for today. We'll close now with a song.